There's a very common sense reason gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are several reasons. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since Jan 21, the cost of living is up 17.9%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now above $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the House of Cards will come crashing down. A presidential election year that'll have massive implications on the future of this country. All of this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that's why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold. Text STRANGE to 989898 and get your free info kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold, too. Just text STRANGE to 989898 to claim your free info kit and to protect your savings from uncertainty today. In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's medical emergency kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
So we know historically when we have elections correlate within a day or the day of or day after following an eclipse, we see a party that was dominant in power fall, right? So somebody falls and someone rises. So there's going to be massive reversals in the power structure.
If you enjoy Conspiracy Unlimited, why not become a Conspiracy Unlimited Plus member? For just $1.99 per month, you'll gain access to two bonus, exclusive, commercial-free episodes per month, plus access to my back catalog of episodes. To subscribe, just go to conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com and click on Gain Access to Premium Episodes. Again, go to conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com and click on Get Access to Premium Episodes, or click on the link in the episode notes. Conspiracy Unlimited Plus, for less than $2 per month. Why not sign up today?
Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett. Pursuing the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from his studio beneath the stairs, here's Richard Serrett.
This hour, astrologer William Stickivers will discuss how planetary alignments affect finance, geopolitics, populist movements, and civil unrest in the coming year. William utilizes a broad scope of political, economic, psychological, spiritual, and metaphysical knowledge to systematically explore possibilities about the future and how they can emerge from the present by weaving current secular trends, geopolitical factors, and mundane astrological portents. He's a counseling astrologer since 1988, mostly in New York and now in San Francisco. He's well-versed in psychological, horary, electional, medieval, and Renaissance branches of astrology. He's certified in astrocartography, and he worked with Elfie Lavoie of the Astrological Institute of Research. He's lectured in the National Council for Geocosmic Research, the American Federation of Astrologers, the Astrological Society of Connecticut, the San Francisco Astrological Society, and in Germany, Romania, and Japan, in addition to being one of five astrologers recommended by Michael Luton's financial astrology page. William has been invited by Kepler College, We the People, and the STARS online astrology event and the Meta Center in New York City to participate on panel discussions on the 2016 U.S. presidential election, the political and economic future of the U.S. and the Mayan Fifth Age, respectively. William, welcome aboard. How are you?
Really great to be on the show.
Can we begin with just a really fundamental, basic crash course in astrology and planetary alignment?
Basically, what we're looking at here is the alignment of the planets in regards to how it affects human behavior, and also in terms of how it affects systems worldwide at the geopolitical level, financial level, the body politic of a nation, the sentiment of the publicly traded markets. All of this is manifestations of behavior that are driven by archetypal components that correlate with the movement of the planets.
When Pythagoras, for example, and the ancient Greeks talked about music of the spheres, what did they believe, or how did they believe that these celestial bodies can impact human behavior? What's sort of like the underpinning of planetary alignment?
That what happens above reflects regards to what is below here on Earth. So that the entire cosmos is permeated with this matrix, and that there is correspondence and correlation between developments that happen in the natural world that are reflected in terms of omens, planetary alignments, the movement of stars, etc. That they found very close correlations in terms of that, in terms of an individual's temperament at the time of their birth. So this goes beyond the current Newtonian model of physics that was so initiated into. We're really talking about the concept of matter. This model doesn't really apply. Like, astrology deals with the matrix, or the sort of the energy shifts, the state of quantum energy shifts that occur at the subtle level, at a deeper level, in regards to the construct of physics. So it works more in alignment with what we see with quantum physics and string theory. And I believe that's what Pythagoras was talking about. And this was all part of a mystery school. So astrology was part of like a mystery school that eventually developed into a true medieval science by the time of the high or late medieval era or early Renaissance. So that's what we're seeing, that, you know, basically what we're doing today is taking those very concepts that were developed by the Greeks or the Greek mystery school, and then now putting them into data systems and using computers where we can look at large data sets, and then we can correlate particular types of behavior, particular developments in history with all different types of astrological correlations.
It's not just about planetary alignment, correct? I mean, do you include the moon, the sun?
All of those, right? So we don't just use the planet in a sign or the sun sign. We're looking at declination. We're looking at how outer planetary alignments converge and separate over history, and how that correlates with periods of revolutions and wars. So, you know, it's astrology, and there's many different schools of astrology. There's you know, the typical sun sign, pop astrology that became very common shortly after the First World War, during the rise of the middle class and consumerism. And we have the more sophisticated levels of psychological astrology that really came into formation during the time of Carl Jung and his investigations into astrology. And then we saw, especially in the 20th century, the emergence of geopolitical or mundane or global astrology. And that has to do primarily what we'll be talking about today, I believe, in terms of how astrology reflects and can augur with a high degree of precisional accuracy of where long-term trends are happening. And particularly when it comes to like paradigm shifts, what we call major shifts in the fundamental values and beliefs of a civilization.
You also do something called electional, or you practice electional.
Right. Electional astrology is the very similar to augury astrology or horary astrology. It's the flip side. So it would be the time of when to initiate a particular action when the planets were in a position that were most fortuitous for a fortunate outcome.
And the difference between the medieval and Renaissance branches?
First of all, both those branches are limited to the seven planets all the way out to Saturn. They don't include the outer planets that were discovered in the 19th and 20th century. So it doesn't include Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. So that's the main thing. The second thing is that that type of astrology, in terms of the axioms and postulates, and is very faded, right? There's a very faded quality, the option of free choice. There's no upward social mobility based on education, because the structure of society back then was very, very limited. That was during the time of the Renaissance in particular, and the time of the late, we could say sometime around during the 1400s into the early 1600s, where astrology hit its apex and it was being utilized by nearly every king and prince and by the Euro elite during that period for decision making. For profit, to elect wars and invasions, etc.
It's said that Nancy Reagan, for example, made many major decisions, I guess, in the West Wing, and helped advise President Ronald Reagan using astrology. And as you say, world leaders consulted their astrologers on invasions and so forth. Why then is it in modern times often looked in a condescending or derisive manner by, you know, the so-called men of science? Why are they so quick to dismiss astrology?
Because they use a materialistic, mechanistic model of the world in terms of their worldview. It's based on materialism and, you know, that whole entire paradigm that, it's clear to me. Well, first of all, there's that element of it. The other element of it is that there's the giggle factor or the ridicule factor by the mainstream media. There's no real journalism on astrology going on anymore because, you know, like I happen to know, I have many different people who work at the highest levels of their particular industry in the film industry, in Hollywood, in the financial industry, in Wall Street with hedge fund. I have a number of hedge fund clients, but I'm not the only one out there. I have a number of people that I work with who work in the lobbying sector of politics in Washington, campaign managers and operation chiefs who, right? So there's it's sort of like cryptocurrency. You know, everyone says, you know, I don't believe in Bitcoin, but everybody's buying it. Everybody, right? It's like every other, right? So for as much as it's looked down upon, there's this massive interest that continues to grow. So I think there's two, you know, I think there's the front end story that the media is projecting, that the academia is projecting, and I think is the real populist undertow that's happening, where there is a massive resurgent interest in astrology, especially because of the computerization and development of artificial intelligence, the integration of artificial intelligence systems with the data sets, and using the astrological, all the different astrological systems, and seeing what works, what doesn't work, and giving us more consistent results and much finer, much better prediction accuracy. So, look, most astrologers I knew, the good ones at least out there, are beating the prediction markets about 80% of the time, right? If you can't make accurate predictions more than 70 or 80% of the time, you can't have a viable business model. Being right just over 50%, which most of the best money managers are out there at their very best, are only beat the market by 51 to 53%. In fact, 50% is a political landslide, right? But if that's was astrologers are outperforming that far above 53%. So that's another thing. So the problem is there's no real journalism, what's really happening in the field. You see, you know, and the other issue has to do with the fact that who are the biggest name astrologers? They're the ones that write the sun sign columns in Vanity Fair, for instance. They're not the heavyweights. They're not the ones that are working with people who are major forces in their respective fields.
And that's kind of the pop astrology that emerged after the First World War, I guess, that you were referencing earlier, that's just very, very sort of superficial. That's what we see in the newspaper, right? You know, Capricorn, correct. You know, you'll meet a stranger today.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. So, you know, that is the brand, but the reality is very different. Most of the astrologers I know who are very, you know, the ones who are serious astrologers, I would call them, they're booked up, you know, 6 months to 2 years in advance. Their fee structure rivals that of a top corporate attorney out there in terms of their hourly rates, you know, their accuracy. I can't vouch for everybody's accuracy. I mean, that tends to vary. So there's that side of it. The other problem too is that we have a split in astrology. The ones who get the most voice are not only just the sun sign astrologers, but the ones who I would say that basically pontificate and support the neoliberal complex that we see dominating so much in the mainstream media. So, you know, no matter what Democrat, for instance, runs for office, or, you know, Labor Party, they will always be projected to win regardless. And so most news and fiction doesn't happen. See the media or any journalists, you know, roasting them, right? So that's the other issue. So generally, what we're seeing, you know, the contrarian astrologers are the ones who are working the most, but they get the least press.
How do you work? I mean, it's not about just, you know, poring over charts. You're using, are you artificial intelligence? Did you say?
Yeah. So we use, you know, first generation black box, artificially intelligent black box systems where that can look at over several thousand factors simultaneously in conjunction with planetary alignment. So 7,000 data sets, and then see how they correlate to particular planets. Aspects, declination, all these different ways of looking at how these planetary alignments correlate with what's happening in regards to a certain set of behavior, price movements, key historical developments, military actions, etc.
It seems overwhelmingly complex. I mean, how does one begin to learn all of this? How did you become an astrologer?
Yeah, well, that's a long story, but I started back in the late 1980s and just, you know, was a kid in college who was just really interested in finding a little bit more about what he should be doing or what I should be doing with my life and my career. And from there, I began a very intense study with a number of astrologers over a 20-year period. And then I started a professional practice a bit earlier, should have, the early 1990s. And I've been doing that ever since. And then I, you know, what happened is astrology pushed me in the early 1990s to get into computers, PCs, the internet. So I was on the internet before Netscape Navigator was out there. And my goal was to take the developments in computer science and especially what I was seeing with the internet and to integrate that all into astrology to, you know, to provide to get much more accuracy in terms of be able to, I knew astrology was capable of doing more than what it was doing, certainly by the early 1990s, because what was dominating the headlines, certainly by the late 1980s, early 1990s, when the book was released by Joan Quigley on the Reagan administration and how she advised the Reagan administration. So I knew astrology was capable of doing a lot more of that, but it was limited because of the fact that we didn't have a global network where we could pull in data or we could exchange concepts and ideas. This is really crucial and necessary to, you know, and so there's been massive advanced developments, both in financial astrology, geopolitical astrology, psychological astrology. I mean, it's exponential development at a level that we've never seen in the 2000 plus year history of astrology that's happened since the emergence of the internet in the early 1990s. So that's what pushed me to do all of this. And then, you know, I was a full-time in for computer engineer in New York City, San Francisco, Silicon Valley. And, you know, I decided in 2017 to do this full-time, although I did have an international practice prior to that. I was going to Japan. I was going to Europe. I was certainly meeting, you know, I was certainly working with Wall Street hedge funds when I lived in New York. So it was more of a development, an evolutionary development, being fast-tracked and being driven by the technology.
When you wake up, what are you looking for? Just walk us through, let's say we're looking at geopolitical events. Let's start with geopolitics. What are you looking for in terms of alignment and how that, I know this is very rudimentary, but how that will affect world events?
Well, basically what I look at it is a snapshot of the year of the, particularly of the outer planets, that being Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and see what they'll be doing over a 12-month period. Now, for the listeners out there, the astrological new year doesn't start on January 1st. It actually starts on March 20th, which is when the sun ingresses into zero Aries. And the astrological new year on the other side of the world for the past 2,000 years started on the new moon in the first week of February, which would be the Chinese New Year. So the period of February into late March is a cuspal liminal period where we see a transition in the energy and the narrative of key developments that are going to define that astrological year. So we're at the tail end of 2021 and now going to be transitioning soon into 2022 in terms of what are going to be the dominant themes that will dominate all the way into the winter of 2023. So I look at all of that and I look at what particular alignments between those planets, between those geocentric descending nodes, heliocentric descending and ascending nodes. I look at the Barbel Planetary Cyclic Index. I look at a number of other things and I see what are going to be happening. And then I go back and I look historically when those same events and shifts are occurring. Because although history doesn't repeat itself, it often rhymes. So we can see when we know for sure now, we have enough data now to correlate planetary alignments and their intersection with global conflicts, with challenging histories in periods, with economic deflationary periods, with periods that correlate with widespread suspicion, pessimism, tension, boom periods, renaissance periods, periods of where we can basically correlate massive socioeconomic stagnation, populism. So there's going to be, we look at all of these different things. And then from there, we look at the most important thing after that is to look at the context, of what is really going on in the world. That's a big issue, especially if all you're doing is using CNN as your news or BBC, right? Like, that's a big problem. That's my big, big qualm with a lot of what's happening now with astrology is the fact that they're using this mainstream, type of news that is more with propaganda.
Pushing a biased narrative, right?
Correct, right. And so that will skew their narrative and their projection. So what I do is I have a number of different news services that they're not mainstream. I'm a member of many different think tanks special membership groups where I get all different types of information, data, what's happening geopolitically, what's happening in terms of technology, science on the cutting edge. And I use that, I put that all together and then layer that over these different major powerful alignments and then make informed, intuitive speculations with the greatest degree of accuracy I can based on what the computer modeling is showing to what is probably going to happen. So we can only talk in regards to probability, not certainty.
All right. So let's talk about two major potential geopolitical events on the horizon, and that is communist China's invasion of Taiwan. Mm-hmm. And Russia's invasion of Ukraine. What does planetary alignment suggest could occur there?
Yeah, well, this is, absolutely. Because the reason we could say this is we've seen periods of crises that occur where, we have periods of the potential for high conflict. Right. So I'll list off what I'm seeing here. So what we see is when we see the correlation of the geocentric south node of Saturn conjunct Pluto, or the geocentric north node of Saturn conjunct Pluto, and you go all the way back in history. And if we just go back, for instance, into the 1930s, we see the onset of the Great Depression. We see the national bank holiday that followed when they closed the banks for 8 days worldwide and reopened them, took half your money. This was followed by the confiscation of gold, of the Gold Hoarding Act. This was followed by the U.S. dollar devaluation being the world reserve currency. This followed by the National Banking Act. Then we saw the correlation of the COVID-19 pandemic event correlate with that same alignment. And then we see the contested 2020 election, the Biden administration. And so we've seen, if we go back even prior to that, we see the U.S. Civil War, the Taiping Revolution. We've seen the First World War. So we're seeing the same type of alignments that correlated with these global conflicts, with these revolutions. With these alliances, these major paradigm shifts. So this alignment in particular deals with high-intensity conflicts, systemic financial crisis, foreign policy crisis, revolutions where we see republics turn into empires. Let me state that again. Constitutional republics like Rome, right, turn into an empire. Plutocracies, the rise of plutocracies. We see there's a development of crony capitalism, too big to fail, too big to jail, and what is now being termed totalitarian democracy. So a plutocracy that operates on the back end with the front end being a totalitarian democracy that's being the economic system is a crony form of capitalism. And then we also see covert intelligence operations that are driving the narrative, or false flag events, unprecedented watershed developments and of historical significance in regards to, like fateful developments on the world stage that correlate with, the potential for war, conflict. Right now, we have what? We had a currency war, we have a technology war, we have a trade war, we have a cold war, and we have the potential for a high-intensity conflict in Eastern Europe with the Ukraine crisis brewing, certainly the situation in Iran, and the situation where China has made it very clear they are going to acquire Taiwan one way or the other, and they are willing, they're willing to have a conflict with the United States over that, because it's when they believe they can win. So these are all things that are coming to a head. And I think the bigger issue is the fact that we're seeing a complete breakdown of the fiat currency fractional reserve banking system.
Not great news, William. Well, we're approaching a break here, but just to sort of address this and then revisit it on the other side of the break here. You mentioned constitutional democracies becoming authoritarian or tyrannical. We see what's happening in Australia right now,
right,
and New Zealand, up here in Canada, our own prime minister dehumanizing, demonizing the unvaccinated, asking rhetorically, should we tolerate them? And people are wondering what is going on. So are you able to predict this in advance? Did you see this coming, let's say, even pre-COVID?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In fact, back in January in New York City, at the New York Open Center, I predicted that we would have a black swan event that would shake up the very foundations of our civilization and define the narrative, or at least be the trigger that would then define the narrative moving forward for the remainder of the 21st century. And, you know, I remember getting a lot of hostile kickback from that, from the audience, although they were, you know, very attentive to wanting to hear what I had to say. So, and then I remember, then within 2 weeks, COVID broke out. Now, I didn't know it was going to be a global pandemic. I didn't know. I just knew this was going to be big, and I knew it was going to be equivalent in scope, even greater in power and impact than 2008, 9/11, and 1929 combined, and that this would persist and continue all the way through 2028, 2029. In fact, I said this was the second act of 2008, right? 2008, we had the global financial crisis. Then we had British exit. We had the near collapse of Europe. The European Union almost collapsed. The Greek crisis. Then we saw British exit. We saw the rise of Trump. We saw all this populism all throughout the planet. We saw the Arab Spring in the Middle East, where 17 nations went into revolution. So a lot of things have happened. So that was like Act One. Then we're now transitioning into Act Two.
All right. We'll pick up on Act Two. WilliamStickivers.com. Back with more in a moment. Don't go away. Tis the season to give the perfect gift. C60 Evo organic oil elixirs and facial serum sets. And here with another sleep tip is the co-founder and chief scientist at C60 Evo, Chris Burrus. Chris, welcome.
Richard, thank you so much for having me. So my tip today is regarding, and sometimes this can be controversial, it's regarding alcohol. So a lot of people believe that if you have a drink right before you go to sleep, that it can actually positively impact your sleep. What most people don't realize is, yes, it will knock you out. But what it does is it actually interrupts your natural sleep rhythms. So you're not getting the REM and the in-REM sleep that you need. So if you're going to have a drink, and there's good data that suggests having a glass of red wine in particular and the resveratrol in it is actually good for you. make sure you're doing that about 2 hours before you're going to get to sleep. You want time for your body to metabolize the alcohol and get it out of your system. And again, if you don't drink, don't start for this purpose. But if you do have that one glass of alcohol, specifically, I would recommend red wine about 2 hours before you get some sleep so you can make sure it doesn't negatively impact your sleep. I always like talking about sleep. Our most consistent testimonial for C60 Evo is that people take it in the morning. They report mental focus and energy during the day and then better sleep that night.
I've been taking C60 for what? 2.5, 3 years, sleep like a baby. And I don't mean I wet the bed and cry all night. I mean, I sleep soundly like a baby. C60 Evo products deliver noticeable benefits to people and pets around the world. Immunity boost, deeper sleep, more energy, mental balance, flexibility, and longevity. And don't forget to visit the website c60evo.com/Richard-Serrett. c60evo.com/Richard-Serrett. Use the coupon code EVRS at checkout and save an additional 10%. Chris, always good talking to you. We'll talk again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
As you're staring up at the night sky, ever wonder who's staring back? No, me either. But I guess you better say it because of Richard, you know, he's all wrapped up in this stuff. Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett.
We're back with William Stickiverse, financial and geopolitical astrology. We are seeing the rise of populist movements. I mean, going back to, I suppose, Brexit and then the election of Trump. Now we're seeing on the European continent the rise of populist movements in France and Italy and Hungary. Where is that going? Where do you see that heading in the next several years, according to planetary alignments?
Yeah, so what we see is a mass formation sarcosis developing as a dystopian tool of population control, which will intensify and accelerate as governments begin to crack down further. So we're going to see a lot more of that. We're going to see the road to fascism, like a global fascism, paved with vaccine mandates and techno-corporate state collusion. So we're going to see a much bigger push for that. We're going to see massive applied perception management gaslighting programs that are going to go anabolic this year into next year. Now, this is just in terms of the body politic. This is a global thing. This is not just the US or Canadian thing, right? Or European thing. We're also, look, the biggest issue has to do with the fact that combined with this, there's going to not only be applied perception management programs in regards to the politics, but in regards to the economics, we're going to see them change the CPI where they're going to tell us that inflation is actually 5% and the unemployment's 3%. Meanwhile, the inflation, my prediction, it'll be right now it's about 15.8% and it moving to 20%, it will go into hyperinflation in many, many countries outside of the United States. But we'll see Canada hitting 20, 25% inflation, US 20%, and Europe probably around the same. And then you see countries like Turkey, Argentina, you're going to see all these emerging market countries go through hyperinflationary events because the US dollar is collapsing in purchasing power and they're using all sorts of means to cover that up. We're going to see the Great Resignation, massive labor shortages. It's not just with unskilled workers, with skilled workers. We're going to see all of these global supply chain disruptions. The whole system of governance that has defined our world since 1945 up to 2020 is breaking down rapidly as a new world order, a new system of money, a new system of governance is emerging at the same time.
The collapse of the old Bretton Woods monetary system and moving into what? Digital currency, central planning of the economy. Will I be able to decide if I want to buy a new car or a new dining room table, or will that all be determined based on my social credit score? Is that where we're headed?
Yeah, well, that's where they want to head this. Obviously, Bitcoin is the greatest threat to Bitcoin is not only the greatest threat to Wall Street, but to governments. Bitcoin replaces government, it replaces the need for bankers, it replaces the need for lawyers. So it's going to, Bitcoin is the catalyst, or I would say Bitcoin is equivalent to what LSD was for the countercultural revolution of the 1960s. That's the best way I could sort of phrase it.
That's an excellent analogy.
Thank you. And so I believe we're going to see, that's going to be the most powerful disruptive force, especially when you see Paraguay and you see other nation states accept it as a currency as a legal currency, and a currency that they will also be mining and keeping it as part of their core reserve and swapping out US dollars. So they're moving away from the dollar system because they don't have a choice. So we're going to see that proliferate, and that's going to change. Now, the counter to that, that's the utopian shift. The dystopian is where the Chinese central bank, the Federal Reserve, come out with their Chinese yuan, which will be deployed on the date of the opening of the Winter Olympics. And later this year, most likely next year, the Federal Reserve will come out with their Fed coin. And that Fed coin will be a programmable form of money that'll be connected to your social credit score and your financial credit score that will determine how you spend that money, when you spend it, where you can spend that. That will be unique based on your behavior to keep you in compliance and to move and shift your behavior. Because once they can control your money, they can control your behavior.
Could that be, let's talk about America for a moment. Could this plan be interrupted or delayed by the result of the midterm election? A lot of people are talking about a red tsunami. You know, the Republicans mm-hmm. could pick up something like 80 seats in the House, another mm-hmm. maybe 4 or 5 in the Senate. How much could change as a result of the midterm elections?
Yeah, so this is going to be a voter revolt. This is going to be equivalent to what happened in 2016. And of course, the mainstream media, Don Lemon of the CNN team, they're going to play this thing down. But this wave is going to be happening, not just in the Senate, where it's going to be 54, 55 senators, Republican. Like you said, we're going to see the House go red. We're going to see it happen at the municipal level, the governor level. It's going to happen. Right. We're going to see blue districts turn red for the first time in even states such as California. So this is going to be a massive voter revolt. So, yes, will it be enough? However, that's the question. Right. Will it be enough to thaw it their, this dystopian plan for a global one world global order? There's a high probability. Astrology has been showing this for a while that there, and especially because the fact that the election will occur on a lunar eclipse. So we know historically when we have elections correlate within a day or the day of or day after following an eclipse, we see a party that was dominant in power fall, right? So somebody falls and someone rises. So there's going to be massive reversals in the power structure. That being said, we have a bigger issue, and that has to do with the deep state. So will this be enough to slow down the policies of a deep state complex that has essentially hijacked our constitutional democracy and trying to push us into a global empire, and where we start really behaving like a global empire in a way that's much more overt? So the United States is essentially an empire, a covert empire that projects itself as a democracy or a democracy that operates within a constitutional framework. And that has certainly not been the case, certainly for a good 20 some odd years. And so we're now seeing this getting pushed out. So I would say that we're going to still look, the big collision between populist or anti-globalist nationalist forces and populist force and all that populist rise is going to go against this globalist coalition. And, you could separate it out between people who take the red pill and people who take the blue pill, right? The blue pill folks are like, hey, I'm all for Biden, Kamala. She can't happen soon enough. I'm all for this outsourcing. Everything's fine. I've gotten vaxxed. I'm getting my fourth booster, right? What are you guys talking about? This is craziness. Let's do a show on something more, sane and real, right? And then you've got everybody else listening to the show, the red pill, going, yeah, man, I totally understand what you're saying. This can't happen fast enough. Something must change. I'm willing to do whatever it takes now to change this, whether I have to vote, whether I have to do, so we're going to see a lot more political activism, social activism. So you're going to see a bifurcation, which has already begun, but the bifurcation will grow wider, get more intense, and get more confrontational in a much more overt way in 2022.
There are some asking for a national divorce in the United States because of irreconcilable differences. How can a conservative Christian, for example, coexist with an atheistic cultural Marxist who hates Western civilization? What do you see in terms of a dissolution of the union?
look, let me go back here a second. So there is outer planetary alignments, and then we have to look at things at another layer. And the other layer I look at is who's the dominant world power or dominant world power countries, right? So the United States, in terms of its power index, economically, technologically, militarily, stands far above even that of China. When you combine them together, right, the U.S. is still the dominant hegemon. Now, in global mundane astrology, we look at to the astrological portents to that particular nation state or empire to determine the narrative for the remaining nation states and how they will respond to that behavior or that impact. Okay, so I mean, it's like the rise of, to give you an example, the price of Bitcoin basically determines the price of all the other cryptocurrencies. It doesn't matter, right, how bullish an altcoin is, if Bitcoin is now, you know, taking a 50% crash, right? So it's the same. We look at the U.S. and the big thing that's happening right now, USA is through Pluto return, which is marking the beginning of the second act of the fourth turning, right? Fourth turning is, I believe there was a number of people on your show that have talked about the American fourth turning. We've seen it's a crisis that occurs somewhere between every 84, 92 years during a Uranus revolutionary period. Last time we had it was during World War II and the Great Depression. We're having it right now. It started exactly in 2008, just as it was predicted, right, in the late 90s by two professors. So we're seeing not only the fourth turning, but the fact that the U.S. is going through the Pluto turn. If you go back in history, the last time we saw a republic through a Pluto return and its 247 year history is when it shifted from a republic into an empire during a 20 year crisis. And that has to do with what happened to Rome. So the Roman Republic shifted into a full blown empire, and many issues, right? You had secessionists, in fact, Gaul, wanted to succeed from the Republic, right, which started a civil war and required the rise of Julius Caesar, who then restored order, all right? They assassinated him. This is very classic. And then we see the rise of the first emperor of Rome, Octavian, right? Octavian Caesar Augustus. And so he basically launches an empire that becomes the world's first superpower that would last 700 to 800 years, depending on the time frame, but about 700 some plus years. All right. So that would define not only what would happen during that period, but would basically set, you know, the rise of Great Britain, which was a vassal state of Rome. So you could see, and then the United States is a vassal state of the British Empire that became an empire. So you could see the connection here. By the way, when Great Britain went through the Pluto return, it was during the 1940s. What was happening? They were in an existential crisis. The empire was in collapse. Nazi Germany was winning that war until the Americans and the Canadians, all right, came in, right? And so, right. And it's still then, it was a close call until 1943-44. So the point is that they lost. They were the world reserve currency. They lost that, right? The empire began breaking up, right? India broke away and all these African and Asian, they started breaking away. So you could see that the United States is in this crisis. Either it will collapse or it will transform. The question is, what will it transform into?
Very quickly, just a few minutes. What do you see in terms of populist uprisings in Europe? The globalist Macron is facing an election. He has a number of right-wing opponents. Le Pen and another gentleman whose name escapes me is just now emerging on that scene. We see massive protests that are not covered by the mainstream media in objection to these vaccine mandates in Vienna, in all across Italy, all across France, all across
the Netherlands.
Kazakhstan, of course.
What's happening in Kazakhstan is not going to stay in Kazakhstan. That's going to spread everywhere. And what's driving it? Inflation, high energy prices. In fact, what's happening in Kazakhstan is impacting the price of Bitcoin because it's the second largest mining facility in the world. The U.S. is number one. So that's and it's the highest producer of uranium in the world. So what happens in Kazakhstan? That's being driven by inflation, out of control inflation, the collapse of their currency. What's happening in Turkey is going to be spreading into Europe. It's going to be crucial to what's happening in France, because we have a high-risk scenario of a far-right candidate who could win the presidency and lead the next French government. So this is not a sure thing. Now, right now, I would give Macron still a 53% chance of winning, but his prospects of winning go from 53 to 50-50 between now and the first round of the French National Assembly elections in June.
I have to have you back on, William, and do the full 2 hours. This is absolutely amazing information, so complex, and I know so very little about astrology. I'd like to learn more. William, how do we get in touch with you and seek your guidance and your counsel?
Yeah, I mean, I'm available. I'm very approachable. You can reach me out on Facebook. You can go to my website, williamstickovers.com. I also have a Global Transformational Astrology membership where I'm doing what you're doing here, doing forecast projections every week, right? I'm doing a forecast. These are like high intensity, heavy duty, deep dive projections financially, geopolitically. We go into nation states. I give many, many predictions on election outcomes. I have an 87%, this is on record, accuracy on those things. And, you know, I also have a crypto astrology group because I've been doing Bitcoin since 2010, right? So I was in the tech world. So I started that last year, and that group is growing, and I help people with their investment strategies. I have two different groups. They can check me out there. They can go to my website, williamstickovers.com, and check them out, along with going to my blog where I post quite a bit of predictions as well.
I hope to speak with you again in the not too distant future on this program. William, great to meet you. Thank you so much for this.
Great to meet you. Thank you for having me.
A new Conspiracy Unlimited with Richard Serrett drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com. Blow your mind. That is all for now. Oh, and remember to share and give a 5-star review, because we have huge egos and need love. We're like cats. We need constant petting.